Hello and welcome to Hysteria in the year 2023. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, what's in 2023 and what's out?
Well, Erin, what's in and what's out? Okay, you know what's in?
What?
Pasta Grannies. Do you watch the Pasta Grannies on YouTube?
No.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. The Pasta Grannies on YouTube are in, and the chaotic cooking on TikTok and Instagram is out. I cannot watch people smear food on a center island one more time.
Yeah, I saw some people cooking macaroni in a sink and I was like, absolutely not. And then a few days later, I got a scientist who took a Q-tip and tested how much bacteria is in a sink drain even after it's been cleaned. And I was like, that's why you don't cook macaroni in a sink.
It is an unnecessary fad in every way. And the pasta grannies, Erin, the pasta grannies are like old Italian grannies that make pasta on film. And they have a cookbook and they're so calming and wonderful and like a little bit mean.
Okay, that's perfect. I love all those things. My 2023 in, needlepoint.
Love it.
My 2023 out, doom scrolling. Not doing it anymore.
I am with you. I spent a lot of the holidays not doom scrolling, and I caught up on a lot of TV that way.
This week, we're joined by Tian Tran and Dana Schwartz to take on the following questions. How many votes for Speaker of the House can Kevin McCarthy lose before it stops being funny? What's a Nepo baby, and what did they do wrong? And why is watching small children run errands in Japan so compelling? All this and more right now. Alyssa, let's start 2023 on a kind of fun note.
Oh, dare we?
Let's listen.
You are uniquely qualified to understand what it takes to be Speaker of the House.
Yeah, I do. Does
he have it?
But why would I make a judgment about something that may or may not ever happen? No, I don't think he has it, but that's up to his own people to make a decision as to how they want to be led or otherwise.
Okay, so, you know, and I said this was from 2023, Alyssa, I lied. That sound was actually Nancy Pelosi speaking with Dana Bash, and it took place in mid-November of last year.
Hmm.
Who are they discussing?
The one, the only. Kevin McCarthy.
I'm just going to go ahead and say Nancy knew. Let's take a moment to acknowledge the fact Nancy knew. So as of Wednesday, I'm sure our listeners are aware, Kevin McCarthy has failed to get the votes to be Speaker of the House. There have been three votes as of recording time. By the time you hear this, there will be more. And McCarthy is now further from his goal than he was when it started. At first, 19 Republicans were voting against him. Now, in the most recent caucus, 20 Republicans have voted against him. He can only afford four defectors. 20 is more than four. So this has brought business in Washington to a grinding halt because according to the Constitution, which I'm realizing now had some pretty significant design flaws, other members of Congress can't even be sworn in until a speaker is sworn in. So no congressional business can be done until this is taken care of. Alyssa, is this funny?
Okay, so honestly, is it funny? You kind of. Is it reap what you sow? Definitely. The best part is, as we record, you say, right now, Erin, there may not even be votes later. They're trying to stop. They're trying right now. This is such utter chaos that they can't even. He's trying to adjourn the House at noon when they come in so that there doesn't have to be a vote. But he doesn't have enough votes to adjourn.
Oh, my God.
But Erin, do you know my favorite part of all this is? Hmm. Is that, like, could you imagine finding yourself in this quagmire and having already given away the entire motherfucking store? Let's go through what Kevin McCarthy has bartered away in his deals with several devils.
Okay, give it to me.
He has agreed to end proxy voting, something that Speaker Pelosi did because of COVID, which was actually very nice and made sense, but that's the least of our issues. He's agreed to create a subcommittee on judiciary to investigate weaponization of the federal government, whatever the actual fuck that means. He is going to set term limits on the Ethics Committee board, which would mean that all but one Democrat would get kicked off. He wants to conduct, or has agreed to conduct, a church-style, in air quotes, investigation into the FBI and CIA. It gets better. He has promised to put Marjorie Taylor Greene on the Oversight Committee, one of the most coveted, one of the most coveted positions in all of Congress, after that numbnuts got scrapped from all of her committees for saying violent and bigoted shit last time. He has promised to look at impeaching the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas. Mm-hmm. He has agreed to investigate the January 6th committee for investigating a coup. And he has agreed to a threshold of 5 votes to oust a speaker, literally his own death sentence, to 5 votes. No, let's just, he's already got 20 people against him, so I'm not even sure what that good does him. And the last, there are many other things, but the one other thing is so bizarre. He's agreed to adopt something called the Holman Rule, which allows lawmakers to use spending bills, to defund specific programs, fire federal officials, or reduce their pay. Aaron, what else can he give the Freedom Caucus to get their votes? It seems like Crazy Town is full. Like, this is it. I don't know what he's got no tricks left up his sleeve. But if it's him or Jim Jordan, I don't know who's worse.
I mean, he really did give the store away for sure. And this
store is empty. He looted his own store.
But this also reminds me of this really valuable adage for all aspects of life, which is, you know, in your romantic relationships, in your professional relationships, in your friendships, you do not fuck with crazy. You do not fuck with crazy. It's all like, it's like, it starts out all fun. Like, you're drunk driving a tandem bike back to the hotel in Fort Lauderdale from the Applebee's, which you got kicked out of because you had too many margs. That's fun. That's like a fun story, you know, if you're fucking with crazy. And then suddenly you piss them off and it's 3 a.m. on Christmas Eve and they're standing outside your parents' house calling you a pussy.
Yep.
Because you won't go halfsies on some cocaine with them. And you have no idea why they're even in Minnesota, you know?
But they are, because you opened the Pandora's box. You let the crazy in.
You do not let the crazy in, because that is what happens. You know, this also reminds me the humiliation of Kevin McCarthy, who fully deserves it.
Fully
deserves it. And he should be put in textbooks in college classes that teach the art of fucking around and finding out, because this is what happens politically. And it's one of the most perfect examples of it I've ever seen. Have you ever been to, okay, so you know, when you go to a wedding with like a traditional wedding ceremony, and there's a part of it where the officiant says, any who object to this union, speak now or forever hold your peace. Now, in real life, nobody ever speaks up during that time, right?
Right. Not that I've ever seen.
No, same. If I had, it would be like the greatest story of my entire life.
We would have told it 10 times over on this podcast.
We would have told it exactly. But, you know, in romantic comedies or in high drama, you know, Hollywood productions, there's always someone speaking up. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever, you know, during that time. I feel as though Kevin McCarthy is the bride at the wedding. And the officiant is like, you know, he's about ready to be sworn in as speaker. It's all but assumed. Speak now or forever hold your peace. And you got 20 crazy people standing up and being like, I've got something to say.
Me next.
Now Kevin just wants to cancel the whole wedding, which he should.
But he won't.
I told you that story about one time. It was like right before the Trump inauguration in January 2017. I was in DC eating. I went to a nice steakhouse in DC because I was just like, what else is there to do? I was by myself. And Kevin McCarthy was a couple tables over from me with his wife, I think. Yeah, it must have been his wife. And they were having a nice steak. It was a good steakhouse. DC has like good steakhouses because there's so many unimaginative people who pass through there. Not residents. I'm talking about like the political transient class of people. So he's, you know, good steakhouses. He is drinking a Bud Light. Okay. When you're at a steakhouse, you don't need to drink red wine. You don't need to drink alcohol, right? But if you're eating a really great steak and drinking Bud Light, that's like, it's the chicken McNuggets of beers, you know?
100%, 100%. Like he might as well, like he might as well just have some Kool-Aid with it. It's like, how could you ruin the flavor more?
I would actually respect Kool-Aid. I'd be like, oh, I wonder what notes that brings out in the meat.
He must carry that around with him.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a vibe. But yeah, it's like, I was just like, what, this person has something, I don't trust him. I mean, I never did, but you know, there was something that I was just like, mm-mm.
Well, after all of his coverage for the last couple of days, I have finally stopped confusing him with Mark Meadows.
Yeah, right. Well, and you know, and I guess this is a great opportunity for us to say congratulations to the new Speaker of the House, George Santos of New York. George Santos, in addition to attending Ivy Leagues, working for Wall Street. Oh, wait. I'm getting word.
No, you're confusing real life with his made up bio.
Well, history books written by George Santos will tell the story of how George Santos was elected Speaker of the House.
While sitting alone in a blue vest on the House floor.
Oh, man, that guy's going to not have a good time.
Not New York's finest moment. The Republicans didn't figure it out. Neither did the Democrats.
Nope. Start spreading the news. Okay. Yeah, I also, here's one thing I want to say though. Two things. First of all, Matt Gaetz has done, credit where it's due, the first funny thing he's ever done.
Aaron, can you read it, please?
Oh my God. Okay, let me pull it up. There was a letter sent to, I have to scroll back. Okay. There's a letter sent to a Capitol building architect. So I don't know, somebody who's in charge of the place.
It's the architect of the Capitol.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's like in charge of office assignments and where different members of Congress work, I'm assuming. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. this is the first time I've ever heard of it.
And the building itself, they oversee the whole building. Yeah.
Sure. So J. Brett Blanton, here's the letter. Dear Mr. Blanton, I write to inform you that the Speaker of the House office located in the U.S. Capitol building is currently occupied by Representative Kevin McCarthy. As of this morning, the 117th Congress adjourned sine die. I really want a sine die. And a speaker from the 118th Congress has not been elected. After three undeciding votes, no member can lay claim to this office. What is the basis in law, house rule, or precedent to allow someone who is placed second in three successive speaker elections to occupy the Speaker of the House office? How long will he remain there before he is considered a squatter? Please write back promptly. As it seems, Mr. McCarthy can no longer be considered speaker designate following today's balloting. Sincerely, Matt Gaetz, Member of Congress. First funny thing he has ever done.
Ever. And that is legitimately quite funny.
That is legitimately funny. I will say, though, not to throw a bucket of cold water on it, Nancy Pelosi, who, you know, always knows what's up. Pelosi pointed out that there are people, families, waiting to see their family members be sworn into Congress, and they all have to just sit there through the bullshit because their family members cannot be sworn into Congress until Republicans get done slap fighting each other. And some of the people brought like infants, like babies, waited all day on Tuesday for the opportunity to be with their family member as they got sworn into Congress. And Nancy was sort of like, can we just swear the rest of the Congress in so that these families can go home?
Can the kids go home?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that's something Nancy and a small handful of other members of Congress would even think to notice. So yeah, on one hand, very funny. Good job, Matt Gaetz. It's the only time I'm ever going to say that.
We will ever say that. But because we are an honest podcast, credit where credit is due.
Credit where it's due. That was funny. Okay. Kevin McCarthy is really keeping California in the headlines in these last few days for sucking. I just want to point out that he is an example of why Bakersfield sucks specifically, not California
But not California.
No.
California's kind of killing it right now.
Yeah. Can you list a few cool things that are taking effect in the Golden State?
Erin, there are so many. I'll tell you the ones I'm the most excited about.
Yay.
First, so excited that the fur ban is in place. California. Hold on. Let me see. California is the first state to ban the sale and manufacture of fur products. The new law bars Californians from selling or making clothes, shoes, or handbags. Now, there was one part of the rule where I was like, what? Record scratch? Go back?
Yeah. I know where this is. I know what this is because I was the same. I was like, what?
Excludes the sale of dog and cat fur. I was like, excuse me, but that's for taxidermy purposes.
Oh, okay.
In case you lose a beloved and you want to stuff them so you can keep them for forever, that's still acceptable and doesn't count under this ban.
Okay.
What else? Oh, another great one that I did not ever realize could be a problem. The rape kit DNA rights. Under this law, law enforcement agencies are no longer allowed to use DNA collected during rape kit tests for investigation of other crimes. I was like, in what world would anyone do this? But apparently the law exists because in San Francisco, the police department had used DNA collected from a victim of sexual assault to tie that victim to a property crime. So that's a good one.
Oh my God.
What else?
Why can't they use some of that creativity to solving rapes instead of prosecuting rape victims? Oh my God.
End the backlog. This is, which ones do you like? What do you like that California's been up to this year?
The fur ban I thought was good. It bans the sale of like new fur coats. So you can still buy a vintage fur coat. That makes still going to be dead.
I got to be honest. I have some fur coats because my Oma had fur coats. And when she was quite old, she would wear them to the grocery store. And this one woman was like, you know, fur is cruelty. And she's like, this animal's been dead for 70 years. So I was like, oh, Germans, they're so funny.
Right. Okay, well, I'm excited about the way that California is protecting abortion and protecting the rights of women and people who seek abortion care in the state of California from prosecution from other states. I think those are called long arm laws, and it just kind of slaps away the long arm of laws in places like, say, Texas, where they're trying to prosecute women from that state who go to other states to receive abortion care. It also abolishes the requirement, this is AB 2223 is the law I'm talking about. It also abolishes the requirement that coroners investigate stillbirths, and it protects someone who helps a pregnant woman end their pregnancy voluntarily from criminal or civil liability. So that's pretty cool. I'm into that. I'm also into a similarly structured law that aims to protect trans youth. The bill is designed to aid children from other states in coming to California for sex change procedures and treatment. It would stop states like Texas and Florida from removing children from parents who elect to put them through gender-affirming healthcare. And the language in the law is medically necessary healthcare that respects the gender identity of the patient as experienced and defined by the patient. The law also blocks out-of-state subpoenas, and it prevents health providers from sharing information with out-of-state entities. And oh, it also gives California courts the ability to make child custody decisions if the child is in California for the purpose of receiving gender-affirming healthcare. All that's good.
All good. Great stuff.
Yeah, it sucks that the law has to exist, but I'm glad that it does.
New York did one good thing over the holidays.
What?
No more puppy mills here.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
Can't sell puppies.
Oh, so does that mean that store that's on 8th Avenue and like 14th Street with puppies in the window?
Probably will not be there anymore.
Oh, this would be my favorite thing to look at when I was walking to work, when I worked over by Chelsea Pierce. But that's an insidery conversation. we have an update from one of the last things we talked about at the end of 2022. There was an arrest in the murder of the four University of Idaho students that were found in a home in November. We had been talking about how it seemed like the police didn't know what was going on. This case has gone from being something that was like, oh my God, horrifying, to something that's like, oh God, this is going to be true crime fodder for like decades.
It was so disappointing almost to see that this guy was pursuing a PhD in criminology. Ew.
I know. How many movies about him are we going to have to endure? Ugh.
So bad.
28-year-old Brian Koberger was arrested 6 weeks after the killings in Monroe County, Pennsylvania. He waived extradition, so he's heading back to Idaho. We don't know very much more about the case because I guess under Idaho law, there's some rules governing what information they're allowed to release until the person's first court appearance. So we're not going to know anything. All I'm learning are completely irresponsible takes I'm seeing on TikTok, and I have had to stop watching them because I'm like, what the fuck what are you talking about? No, none of you know anything.
Wait, what was it? Wait, hold on. What can be an irresponsible take about a PhD in criminology murdering six people?
I think that like the interviews with his classmates,
oh,
where news outlets try to piece together a motive, like we don't know anything about the motive. And I don't really like, you know, there've been these imposter Instagram accounts that have popped up with his name, and
oh,
the imposter accounts have been like following the murder victims. And there are people on TikTok reporting that as though the imposter accounts were really him.
Oh, that is crazy.
Yeah. It's a real maelstrom of disinfo, speculation, and rumor. And as frustrating as it is to, if you cared about the case or you cared about the safety of the community, as frustrating as it is to like wait until you get information, it's just like, you have to. Everything else is just speculation.
We do. Though I will say, I mean, I specifically think I was probably hard on the Moscow, Idaho Police Department. Makes a little bit more sense now why it was hard for them to suss out who this, like, one, they may have been gathering the clues. Like, they found this person who seems quite complicated to have been found. So, you know, maybe they weren't as asleep at the wheel as I thought they were.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they were, Koberger was apprehended by Pennsylvania State Police, though. So they were the ones that actually did.
But that's where they found him. That's not who figured out it was him, though.
Yeah. I guess we'll learn more as things unfold. Who knows?
Who knows? Two armchair experts. We will.
I'm glad, you know, I read that after the murders took place, a lot of the students at the college in town in Moscow went home because they were so scared.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have. Jesus.
And I hope that as horrifying as it is to think of this being just a guy who just picked these people out at random, I hope that the community can feel a little bit safer now. Because that, what a scary time to live through in that town.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. That's all the time we have for news today. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to finally get to that Nepo Babies article from Vulture that came out too late for us to talk about last year. So
can't wait.
Stick around. We will be right back.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolet Avenue, which is where Alex Preti was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now.
Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a 5-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
And welcome back. Alyssa, quick question for you. Do you know who my father is?
Do I know who your father is?
I mean, like, I have been waiting in line to get in this club with the regular people. And I think you'd be a little embarrassed if you knew who my father was.
Isn't he Mr. Ryan?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
And he was a social worker, so he cannot get me into any clubs whatsoever. Maybe he could write me a recommendation for the anthropology department at the University of Wisconsin-Superior, because he did very well when he was an undergrad in the 1970s.
I would take advantage of that to its very fullest.
I know. I mean, in a way, I am a Nepo baby, but I try not to kind of flag it. I work just as hard as everybody else. Yeah. Okay. So speaking of fathers, he is a regular panelist on Hysteria. You know her and love her. She's a comedian, writer, director, and actor who can be seen on Hulu's How I Met Your Father. Tien Tran, welcome to Hysteria.
Hello. It's so good to see you all. It's been a while.
You've been working. You've been a working actor.
I've been a working gal.
A working gal.
But I've missed you all so much.
I miss you too. Okay, I asked Alyssa this at the top of the show, so I'm going to ask you this now.
Okay.
What is one thing that's in for 2023 and one thing that's out for 2023?
Okay, in for 2023 is wholesome content. I'm loving all the earnestness that's coming out of everyone's pages. And out for me is big surprises. I just experienced one in my family and it was very stressful. So I think we need to all be on the same page when it comes to event planning and announcements. I can't do surprises anymore. I need to be fully informed of everything.
You need to be sent a party synopsis before
I do,
so that there aren't any jump scares.
I need the party minutes before I attend.
Okay, sure. I think that's totally fair. Rounding out our panel today, she's a New York Times bestselling author and possibly an actual genius. You can pre-order her forthcoming book, Immortality, A Love Story, now. Dana Schwartz, welcome to Hysteria.
Thank you for having me. It's also, Tien, I feel like it's been so long.
I know, it's so good. It's so good to see you.
Oh. That's how I feel. This is like such a delightful reunion.
Oh, I wish we could all be in the same room, but alas, I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and everyone else is scattered to the four winds. But we'll all get together sometime soon, so we're physically in the same place. Dana, in that spirit, what's something that's in and something that's out for 2023?
In, dinner parties.
Okay.
Ooh, nice.
Out, like Instagram pick dumps.
Oh, wow.
I think we're going to go back, I hope, to like a low effort social media where you can just do like one picture, like old school Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you only want to move your thumb in the up and down direction. Having to do the other way.
Yes, I agree. Too much.
I think the dump was originally designed to seem casual, but now it's crossed that point where people are like curating their dumps in a non-casual way. And so that's why I think they're out.
I think we need a new word besides dump. I don't like, it just means, I don't know. We need a new word.
I love a photo run.
Yeah, you can keep it if we get a new word.
Yeah. A barrage. It sounds fancy.
A slurp.
A slurp. Oh God!
Buffet, okay. Huh? Photo buffet.
A photo buffet. Ooh, I like that. Right. That works for me. Or tapas, photo tapas. Just photo a little bite of several little things.
Instagram little small snack. Plates.
Yeah.
A little nosh.
Exactly. A little nosh. Okay, I'm really excited to talk about this topic this week because there was an article that came out at the end of December 2022, and the second it came out, I was like, first of all, Vulture really went for it. They went hard. The article goes so hard. I immediately pictured that gif from, I believe, Waiting to Exhale, where an actress is walking away from a car that she has just lit on fire and snapping into the sky. Yeah. Okay. So Vulture published an article on Nepo babies, aka people who work in arts and entertainment, who come from well-connected families or are themselves the children of famous people. So this is a topic that had been sort of bubbling up all year in 2022. I guess the first time a lot of us saw it was in that tweet where that woman learned about Judd Apatow through Maude Apatow's acting, which I thought was very funny. But everything kind of felt like it came to a head with that piece. And since then, the topic of the Nepo baby has been pretty dominant in the way we talk about celebrities, at least until there's some like giant celebrity story that eclipses it. I'm going to just read an excerpt in case you haven't read this piece. We'll link it in show notes, but it's a delight. It is a fiery, spicy delight. Okay, here's an excerpt from the piece. Better to imagine Nepo babies on a spectrum. At the top are the classic Nepo babies, inheritors of famous names and famous features, Dakota Johnson, Maya Hawke, Jack Quaid. The next tier down are people who got a leg up from family connections, even if they were not famous per se. These include figures like Lena Dunham, whose artist parents supplied the necessary cultural capital, as well as industry babies like Billie Eilish, daughter of a voice actress, and Kristen Stewart, whose mother was the script supervisor on the Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas. That's a little bit of a stretch.
That's such a stretch.
You leave Kristen Stewart out of this.
She's got that Viva Rock Vegas connection. The Hadid sisters are a tricky case, as with that other famous Palestinian, Jesus Christ. The benefits of the filial relationship clearly flowed both ways. And we can probably draw a line when it comes to figures like Paris Hilton, for whom the term rich people is already sufficient. So, Dana, do you have anything to add to that definition of the Nepo baby?
Okay, here's my wild take. I actually don't mind entertainment Nepo babies.
Okay.
I think privilege exists in every industry and sphere. Mm-hmm. And like, that is an unfortunate reality that I think we need to contend with as a country. And I think we are sort of using Nepo babies as this convenient scapegoat to like get out our frustrations about that system in a way that's like not actually the place where it needs to go. Because movies, entertainment is so visible. Like, Billie Eilish isn't an international pop star because her mom was a voice actor. Like, you also have to have the goods, and like, they're not going to make you the lead of a multi-million dollar movie as a favor to your parents. You also, it's like, they also are good looking because their parents are good looking. I think the real Nepo babies that like, unfortunately are less fun to talk about are like the hedge fund managers who are multimillionaires because their dads invest with them, and like the do nothing VPs of companies who just make, you know, 6-7 figures a year doing nothing, where it's like, actually, like, entertainment Nepo babies have the same, you know, it's like, yes, of course privilege exists and we like to talk about it, but it's like they at least have to do the thing, where there are like actual systemic problem Nepo babies who will just never know because they're not famous.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tian, you work in Hollyweird, as we call it on this show. but like, you know, being, you know, working on a show and having worked at writers' rooms in front of and behind the camera, you know that like the whole entertainment industry is full of like coveted jobs, like that people really dream of having their whole lives. So for people who aren't in the industry, how common are Nepo babies in things like production, development, like studio execs, et cetera? Like, what have you observed?
I mean, what I've noticed that it is fairly common, and I, Dana, I like kind of agree with you. I am somewhat frustrated by entertainment Nepo babies because it is all about connections. It is all about, and of course there is privilege across like so many industries. I'm just speaking from my experience of like being a part of Hollywood, but it is frustrating to see like the level of like, it's who you know, getting that foot in the door is so important. And like, if your dad or mom is someone who's very famous and you're already getting that leg up, like you've already skipped so many people that you're not as good as, is what I think. Like, I think there's like a spectrum of being like, they're fine enough and they're famous, that allows them to get through. So I find it frustrating. I also find it frustrating in that like, the thing about Nepo babies or anyone with like parents with a ton of money is that like getting into creative industries is so hard, and it takes like not making a lot of money or to like doing multiple things. And I feel like the benefit of being a Nepo baby is like you could have your rent paid. I know stories of like comedians where their parents have paid for rent for them in New York or LA. And I don't like, I get that. You should absolutely take advantage of that opportunity from your parents, but it does give you a total leg up that you don't have to worry about living check to check as you're trying to write jokes about relationships. You know, like it adds a different level of stress in getting into the industry.
Right.
I totally agree with you. I think like becoming a creative like necessitates financial privilege because you can't work creatively if you're also working, you know, 10 hours a day. You just can't. Like, and there's so many unpaid internships. I think where I sort of take issue with like the Nepo baby discussion is when like I was like looking at like the Vulture thing and it was like Timothy Chalamet, nephew to like the supervisor of Leprechauns 2. And you're like, well, that's just like he just grew up in New York. Like at a certain point, like Nepo babies exist, but I think that the term Nepo baby has become anyone who grew up in LA and who had any family person. And so I think we need to focus the conversation more to like privilege and financial privilege. And also, I think in the industry, there are so many Nepo babies that you never hear of because they're like producers or agents or like, you know, sort of behind the scenes.
Yeah, I partly agree with the point you're making, Dana, about people just kind of being in the industry. And it's like, you know, if you're, I don't know, Coco is about a Nepo baby. It's about a family of shoemakers. You know what I mean? Like your parents do something. It sort of becomes a family business. You become aware of the lay of the land. You understand how the industry works in a way that somebody coming in from outside might not understand. And so it gives you a leg up in terms of like meetings that you get and people that are willing to even like read your script or you know, see you for an audition. But I think it also gives you a leg up because you're maybe a little bit more mentally prepared for what fame is. And I wanted to bring up Britney Spears as an example of somebody who was not mentally prepared for what fame is. And I'm not saying that everybody that doesn't come from a rich family or a connected family is going to have such a sad descent as Britney Spears did. But I think it's a good example of a person who was sort of plucked from obscurity to be picked for the Mickey Mouse Club, rocket shipped to fame that probably she was not prepared for. Nobody in her family was really prepared for, and was surrounded by people who just wanted to use her like a giant cash machine and didn't necessarily have the wherewithal to, first of all, like the ability to withstand the pressure of fame and the wherewithal to protect herself from people who would try to take advantage of her. So I think that's like a good example of how like, you know, growing up or having some kind of savvy or familiarity with how the industry works without having a baptism by fire can actually be kind of good. Alyssa, so a lot of people have pointed out that Nepo babies exist in other industries as well. So can you talk a little bit about the way that Nepo babies are able to be part of the government?
Thrive in politics.
Okay. Okay.
They're everywhere. Come on. It's like, you know, the one thing is, and it's the same, like the one thing I was thinking that makes it so hard in Hollywood is getting an agent, right? You can't do anything if you don't have an agent. And Nepo babies, if nothing else, can get agents, right? Yeah. And they can get good agents and it helps them. In DC or in politics in general, it's like the same thing. You know, it's like, look at all the people who, you know who's my biggest, and I'm spacing on his name, his first name. It's the redheaded Kennedy who ran for Senate. Was it Patrick?
I think so.
What was his name?
That sounds right. Yeah. That sounds like the name of a Kennedy.
A redheaded Kennedy named like, Patrick.
The thing, right? Like, he was a congressman. He was so young. It's like, can't you just be, this was my Nepo issue. Joe Kennedy.
No, Joe Kennedy is the one from Louisiana that looks like a melting candle. And I can say that because his politics are bad.
Joe Kennedy III. Okay, thank you.
Another Joe Kennedy.
People named Kennedy need to stop naming their children Joe.
Yeah.
Listen.
But it was like, dear Joe Kennedy III, Lil Joe, you were a congressman and you were like, you know what? This is the thing about the political Nepo babies. They don't think they have to pay any dues. It's like you're a congressman and you're still kind of a baby, but you're like, I'm going to take on Ed Markey. And you know what? He lost. And it was a good lesson. And I think people should do that because like experience does matter. And Ed Markey is a great guy. But like in politics, if you're a young if you're a child of someone who was in politics, you can get the internships. Like you guys said, you usually don't have to worry about doing the internship for free because you're fine. You can get political donors because they're your parents' friends or the children of their donors or the donors themselves. And like I had one kid, a Nepo baby, who I was asked to take a meeting with when I was at the White House. He wanted to work at the White House.
Oh my God, juicy goss.
Love it.
He comes in and sits down at my cross from me. And he's like, hi, Alyssa. Now, first of all, it's Ms. Mastermonico to you, you little bitch. I didn't tell you could call me Alyssa. And unless you say you can't pronounce my last name, but then you still shouldn't be here because you should just have Googled my name on YouTube. But he sits down and he's like, I think you need my skill set. No. And I was so amused. I was like, what's your skill set? And he basically told me that he could connect me to all these other rich donors. And he was saying things and I was like, up, up, up. Do you know that everything you just said to me is illegal? He was like, what? I was like, everything you just said to me is illegal. So thank you so much and goodbye. And his dad called me very smartly to apologize. And I'm like, that doesn't matter. Your son has terrible judgment. Oh. So he's not getting a job here. But like the hubris, you know, that's the thing I think with the political Nepo
babies.
It's the hubris. It's the I'm going to come in. And I think that there is something slight like that. That's a little bit maybe of a differentiator between that and the Hollywood Nepo babies, because I feel like the Hollywood Nepo babies can't have that much. I mean, like they can have their hubris on the inside, but I feel like they can't have it on the outside because it's easier to disqualify them for not having talent in a way.
Yeah, I guess. That's it. It's like talent. I agree also with Tien where it's like, people get a leg up over more talented people, mm-hmm. but it's like in other industries, you can have no talent. You can just be awful.
Exactly.
At least Nepo babies in Hollywood are usually like good looking because of their parents' genes, which isn't nothing.
Like they will eventually get sort of like one of the funny things in that Vulture article was the ding on Sam Waterston's daughter, where it said she was smartly cast out of whatever. Like you can be famous. I feel like the Nepo gets you the access, but doesn't take you all the way. Mm-hmm. Whereas in other industries, I think it can take you all the way.
See, mm-hmm. my favorite, since we're talking about talent, my favorite type of Nepo baby is the sports Nepo baby because I'm rooting for the sports Nepo baby. There is no other Nepo baby industry that I'm actively rooting for. Like, I'm rooting for Bronny James and the other one that I can never remember the name of.
But I'm Patrick Mahomes is a bit of a Nepo baby, but he just sort of also like, he just got really good genes.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for those Nepo babies because I'm like, you do have the access with your like famous sports father. And I think there is so much pressure to being the child of someone who's the greatest of all time. And so you can't hide from whether or not you can like dunk on someone or not. So
yeah,
I always will root for a Nepo sports baby.
I actually think LeBron James's son is so funny. My husband is a big sports guy, and we were literally talking about it this morning, bringing up Nepo babies. And he's like, LeBron James just really wants to play with his son. Yeah. And so he's strong on the system and trying to like sort of force his team to draft his son. So it's like his son isn't even a Nepo baby. He's like a vanity baby.
Yeah.
LeBron James is just using his clout because he wants to play with his son.
And you know what? I want that. I don't care. That one, LeBron, move mountains for that.
I feel the same way about Tiger Woods and his son because when they played together, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen because the son was basically like, Dad used to be good.
I think part of the Nepo baby thing, like, so now we're seeing a lot of people being asked whether or not they're a Nepo baby in interviews, which is to the 2022-2023 discourse, what asking starlets if they were feminists was through the 2011-2012 discourse. Just an unfair question. And look, I shouldn't be giving Nepo babies advice because they've got tons of free advice around them all the time and have since they were born. But if you are a Nepo baby, if there's any way that you're parentage could be construed as like a Nepo baby type situation, and you could ask that question in an interview, you say, I don't think that's a very fair question. This feels like a trap, and then laugh and then move on. Or this question feels like a trap. Whatever. You can just move on.
Right.
You don't need to don't need to defend yourself and how hard you worked. I think Jamie Lee Curtis had a really good example. She was like, of course I got a leg up because I'm, you know, Tony Curtis's daughter.
And Janet Leigh, I mean, it's like, cause she was a scream queen. They thought it was like fun to cast another scream queen.
Mm-hmm. Right. But then she actually produced. She was great in that mm-hmm. role. She stepped up to it. And, you know, in a parallel reality, could somebody else whose parents were not Janet Leigh and Tony Curtis have done that role and done a good job? Probably. But, you know, what we have Jamie Lee Curtis in that role and she did a great job.
We're trying to trick them all into saying we need them all to say like, yes, I benefited from privilege to like, to what end? Like we all know what they did.
Mm-hmm. I think that everybody loves a rags to riches story. Yeah. And it gives you so much capital as a star that if you don't have a rags, I mean, like Barbara Stanwyck, you know, her rags to riches story is like sort of the platonic ideal of like a rags to riches story. Somebody who was like an orphan or one of like 12 kids and they grew up poor and then they ran away to Hollywood where they danced on a stage and a producer saw them, you know, like that sort of a thing. And
or like, oh, I love when you pull out the old timey voice.
It's not even a good version. If I talked to somebody who actually had that accent, they'd be like, what on earth are you doing? I mean, like Rosie Perez is a good example of somebody who like was like, has this great Hollywood story of like, oh yeah, she was discovered dancing in a club and got in a fight with Spike Lee, you know, like, and Nepo babies, I think, don't get the benefit of like, yeah, I was like hustling between auditions and I was living in my car and then I got this call. Like that's a feel good
story. J-Lo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know how Alden Ehrenreich got discovered?
No.
This is so his dad is like an orthodontist. So he's not like a typical Nepo baby, but he grew up in LA and he was in. Did you guys go to like bar and bat mitzvahs where their friends like make little videos for them?
Mm-hmm.
He was in a video for one of his friends at a bar mitzvah and Steven Spielberg saw it and was like, that kid's got it.
Oh my God.
No.
See, that's like literally a dream come directors. True. I shot so many short little sketches with my friends in Erie, Pennsylvania and hoping that Steven Spielberg would see me one day.
Yeah. He saw him in a little sketch that he was 12 or 13 did with his friends. And Steven Spielberg was like, get that kid a casting agent.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Are any of us Nepo babies? Like, do any of us have any connection to the industries where we now make our money?
I mean, does it count that my sister was on Ghost Rider?
Yes, absolutely. You should have been
on Ghost Rider.
Nepo.
Was Tina on Ghost Rider?
Fine.
My dad is an insurance agent and my mom is a part-time realtor, but my grandmother's first cousin-in-law wrote the lyrics to Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Dana, I can't believe you waited until this point to tell us.
To drop that bomb.
I feel very misled.
So that's how you became a New York Times bestseller. Okay.
I've never met him. Yeah.
That's a cool connection, though. That's
a cool connection.
That's like Nepo. That's like cool.
Yeah, it's like, and the connection in that family, like, so my grandma's cousin was once nominated for an Oscar in the 80s, ooh, which is cool. She was
so cool.
Yeah. Her name is Barbara Barry. She was nominated for this movie called Breaking Away.
Oh.
I love Breaking Away.
What?
Breaking Away is an incredible movie.
Yeah.
Shut
the
up.
The mom in that is my grandma's cousin.
Wow. Wow.
Breaking Away is top tier sports.
Oh my
movie.
God.
Top tier.
Wow. It's a great movie. It's about kids racing bikes. It's great.
It is.
Go see it.
It's a Dennis Quaid. Yeah. Isn't that Dennis? It's Dennis Quaid.
Wow. Will your kids be Nepo babies? I mean, Alyssa, you have made the choice to be a gift giver and party aunt.
My cats are Nepo babies. Okay. My cats will thrive. If they want internships, they will get them wherever they want. But I've raised lazy for children, so I'm not worried about it.
Tien, if you end up having children at some point, would they be considered Nepo babies? And like, how would you advise them to, or how would you guide them to not be obnoxious versions of that?
Oh my, good question. Well, I don't think we will have children, so I won't have any real Nepo babies, but in my imagination, Nepo babies. I want to do that kind of thing where, like, you know, I said like the fake Nepo baby challenge, which is like you set aside some money that they can't touch until a certain year until they prove themselves. And like they have to like work their way up. I think I would, if I would just tell them to like be self-aware enough to like have the humility to admit that they've had like different opportunities and or a leg up in different situations. Like, I don't mind the Nepo baby that is self-aware to be like, no, I know I had, like, I know I had a leg up and I got in and now I'm trying to work hard and like, I want to not, I don't want that to be the thing that defines me, even though it does. Like, anytime I read an interview from a Nepo baby that says something like that, I'm like, okay, you get it. So that is what I would tell. I would write the PR statements for my children. to say something along those lines.
The ultimate Nepo parent move. Dana, how about you?
I think our kids would like qualify as like mini Nepo babies. Like, again, if like script supervisor of Viva Rock Vegas counts, like I think Ian and I combined are like, we're on the vulture list.
Yeah, you definitely do.
But I would not let my children be performers. I don't think children should be actors. I think if AI acting does anything, it should be kids. We shouldn't let kids be in the industry. And I would never pay my kids rent because I think that's messed up. Mm-hmm. And I would never give them an introduction if they would be in, like, only if it's genuinely really good where I'm like, oh my God, like, yeah, where I would never let them embarrass me. I don't want them like sending their shitty short stories to my editor. That would be embarrassing to me. So it's like, I wouldn't give them connections unless they're already really good.
That is a really good one.
Right. Yeah, that's really good.
Like, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, everything you do is amazing. I'd be like, no, this isn't good enough.
I mean, I think that's important. It's not good enough, but I love you regardless.
I love you, but it's not a professional level. That's, you know.
Oh man. I've thought about this. So Juniper is, when she was born, we were like, okay, we didn't know if she was going to be a boy or a girl. Beforehand, we were like, okay, no football, no sports that are like, or no sports or activities that are closely associated with like disordered eating and really fucked up body image. So like probably no ballet. And then she was born with like amazing double joints that like she's the most, like she has like hypermobility of her joints, which is like a thing that sometimes happens with babies and children. So it's like, okay, well, I guess we have to let her like do some kind of dance. And then we were like, okay, no acting, no child acting. And her first command that she would follow is if you said the word bravo, she would start clapping. So
she's a little Broadway baby.
She's a Broadway baby.
You have Leah Michelle.
She's Broadway baby or Cirque du Soleil. Those are the two options.
I know. I really want her to become like an engineer. I would be so, so proud of her to break the cycle of being. I mean, like the thing is, I think of being someone who's creative and public is there is a type of like misery and anxiety involved in it that I would like to spare her from. You know, like I like what I do. I don't think that there's anything else that I could do as well as I do this. But I hope she's better at something else. And so she can do that thing because entertainment can be kind of a cold place. And even if you are well connected and it requires so much of you putting yourself out there and having yourself rejected that it's really, it's not like you're working at a job where you perform and you turn your work in and then you have a selfhood that feels separate from work. When you're in like entertainment and creative field, you get really entangled in it. And so I kind of hope that she's spared that. I hope that she doesn't have to, I don't hope that she doesn't become a Nepo baby because I don't want her to have to go through some of the things that other people and me have like gone through in this.
Do you guys think dentists are happy?
Dentists?
Yeah. Just like normal jobs. Like maybe that's the way to be the most happy.
Be a dentist. Yeah. I mean,
just like be like a dentist or an electrical engineer and just like do your little hobbies on weekends.
Yeah. I think that that might be the case. I think it also is really important to do something because you want to do it, not because your parents want you to do it or because you feel like you have to because your parents did it. And I think that the most functional relationships that people have with their careers are ones where their parents aren't like meddling. You know, where it feels like it's something that they've chosen for themselves and something that they are doing for themselves. So So yeah, I guess that's kind of a long answer. I've thought about it a lot because it seems like my kid likes to perform and I'm like, I'm not letting her.
I can't wait till her first appearance on the pod.
Oh, okay.
She's going to be a boring podcast.
Oh, God.
She's going to be a little tiny baby podcaster.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Sanity Corner, I Feel Petty to kick off 2023.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolette Avenue, which is where Alex Preti was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now. Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course, they use a five-year-old child as bait. And of course, they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
And welcome back. Tien and Dana are still with me, as is Alyssa. We are going to just get right to Sanity Corner. I Feel Petty, because there's no housekeeping this week. Our house is perfectly clean. We don't have anything else to do. Alyssa, are you Sanity Corner or I Feel Petty this week?
Mine's a little bit of a combo, little bit. But I guess it's more of a Sanity Corner.
Okay.
You guys, I have reached an age where I'm losing control of my hormones and parts of my body. And my period starts coming whenever it wants to, despite being a 20-year devotee of the NuvaRing. And you guys, I know it's very 1995 of me, as my sister says, but Pamprin is baller.
Ooh.
Okay, you need to take three, not two. But I have to say, I'm like, I need something to help me. Like, my cramps are terrible. I'm so bloated. It's like worse than it's ever been. And I went out on a limb when I was at the shop, right? And I was like, what is this Pamprin? And I bought it. And honestly, do not sleep on Pamprin. Ooh. It has got me back on my feet. I mean, not great. My hormones still make me cry for no good reason. But the bloating, you guys, like, as we've discussed, I do not have children, but I look 4 months pregnant when I get my period now, because I am so bloated and so disgusting in any way. So my Sanity Corner is a copious amounts of Pamprin.
This is the first time I've ever heard of Pamprin. I'm being dead serious. What is it? Just a...
It's like a pill.
Is it? Have you heard of Midol?
Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
It's like the earlier, it's kind of like the older sister,
okay.
I think, of Midol. It comes in a very retro-looking bottle. I don't think they've spent money on marketing in years.
Good for them.
But listen, when you go look for tampons, look on the bottom shelf. And there are like your water pills, your Vagisil, your Monistat, your Pamprin, and your Midol.
Yeah.
What are water pills?
So anyway. What are water pills?
The fuck? You guys are so young.
Sorry.
Water pills are what you take when you're bloated. Don't you follow women from the 1950s?
What does it do?
Anyway, they work too.
Oh.
It, like, if you're bloated, it just gets the, it makes you pee.
Oh.
That's not my scientific definition.
Okay, okay, okay.
It's not my scientific definition. I'm just saying, when you take a water pill, you get less bloated.
Okay.
So I have those two.
Oh, man, all these things I feel advertised back to back on Wheel of Fortune. That's what I
You know what, Aaron? That's about right. That's a little Family Feud, a little Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
That's where you will see a Pamprin commercial. Actually, you won't. You'll see it in a Women's Day magazine.
No.
It's okay. It's okay. I I am using this as my sanity, as a public service announcement.
I like this.
For other women who are crampy, bloated, can't control their bodies, have given up on Advil, try Pamprin. Mm. Or like use them both. I also do that.
Mm, interesting. I've got a tangentially related period sani pedi. And I'm just going to jump in and go second because it just kind of dovetails, if you will.
Great. I love to pave the way.
Yes. I think 2023 is the year that we get rid of concealed carry when it comes to our tampons. In 2023, we got to open carry those things. Who cares if people know you're on your period? If they can't handle it, they don't deserve to be out in public, because guess what? A lot of people who menstruate go out in public. And if you can't comport with that, then like stay home and, I don't know, play Parcheesi or whatever little baby games you need to play, because you're so immature.
Did you see the TikTok where they use the tampon to close the wine bottle?
Oh, I've done that before.
What?
You can use it.
Okay, that's so helpful.
Yes.
You can use a tampon to close the wine bottle.
It feels like it would soak through.
Well, you just don't.
No, because you put it at the top, like after you've. You use it instead of a cork.
That makes sense.
Which, by the way, is what my mother used to call tampons.
Cork?
A cork?
Yikes.
Put a cork in it? Nice.
Yeah.
You know, I like that, Erin, because you know the gun holsters that are on, like, you can hold it like kind of like a vest and it's on both sides?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to get one and I'm just going to, like, fill them with tampons on either side.
The most popular
and give
person.
Them out like party
I'll
favors.
I'll give them out like party favors.
Yeah. You want one? I got some. You want one? Oh my gosh.
Who needs a tampon?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people at any given time, a lot of people. So I think that it's time that we stop concealing them. They are for the comfort of people. Concealing them is for the comfort of people who do not deserve comfort.
Yep.
So,
ooh.
Yeah. So that's
well said.
That's my
well
take.
Said.
Tien.
Well said.
You want to go next?
Yeah, sure. I have a sanity corner. Which I'm very excited about. It's almost like a future sanity corner. I just spent 2 weeks back to back with both sides of my family, like my partner's family and my family, and I loved it dearly, but it is a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very much looking forward to, there's a new season of Old Enough on Netflix, which is, for those of you who don't know what Old Enough is, it is a Japanese game show. Reality show,
it's like a game show documentary.
Kind of. Yeah, game show documentary where little, like between the ages of, sometimes they go to as low as 2.5, but 2.5 to like 5 years old, little kids are allowed to go on their first Old Enough journey where they have to do an errand for their parents by themselves their small town, and it's. It's very protected. They close the streets off. The camera people are everywhere, so you don't have to fear for the safety of the child. But it is literally my favorite, like, turn my brain off show and watch, like, a little four-year-old girl go down to the shop and get, like, fish for her mom and, like, bring it back and drop it off and, like, go get another ingredient. It's, like, it is the most peaceful show of all time.
It's so cute. And then there's like narrators.
There's narrators.
Talk about how good of a job they're doing, but you can just hear it in Japanese. And then like there's subtitles. I love the ones where like the little boy, it's usually the little boys get distracted and like start playing.
Yeah, they do.
they'll show like the clock half an hour later. There was one in season one where a little boy was supposed to get orange juice from the house.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And he just like stopped.
He started playing
outside.
But then there was an episode where like it was the third thing she had to do. It was after she like had to like go get some food from a neighbor and
multiple errands.
We're talking about multiple errands. Like,
I can't even do multiple errands.
It's amazing.
That's hard.
It's hard. This one little girl had to get cabbage from the like grandma's cabbage patch maybe. And she missed the cabbage that was sitting in the shed and she went directly to the one that was still like attached to the ground. She spent 45 minutes twisting and turning the cabbage.
And she did it.
And she finally did it and got it out and dry. It's just.
Oh, that. Okay, Tien.
That's someone I'd give a White House internship.
Exactly. She deserves it.
When I tell you I teared up during that scene. I teared up watching that scene.
It's the best.
It's so
do they good. Always do it?
Honestly, yes, they do.
Good. If they didn't, I don't think I could watch.
They it's It's so hopeful because you're like, they really are determined. This little, okay, last one. I'll stop. But this one little girl went to like give her dad an apron and on the way back had to get pick up a watch for her mom. And she gets back to the shop and she missed the watch store and she starts crying and is bawling. And her mom's like, it's okay, it's okay. And through tears, she's like, no, I have to go get the watch for you. And goes back out and gets the watch and the whole town cheers her on as she does it.
Stop! Yes, she gets the Rudy slow clap.
She gets the little, like, everyone's like, you can do it. It's right over. It's, you have to watch Old Enough. It's really the best. The episodes are like 10 minutes long.
Amazing.
I'm convinced.
Amazing. Dana, are you Sanity Corner or I Feel Petty this week?
I'm Sanity Corner, nice. Sort of similar to an Old Enough. I'm fully back on board with the power of movies, capital M movies.
Yes.
You know what I've been doing recently that I really like? We get all those screeners because we're future Nepo parents. Uh-huh. So we're both in the guild. So we get, you know, screeners of theater movies and we turn off the lights, make popcorn, put your phone in another room and watch like a real capital M movie with the lights off in your house. And it's great.
I love
we
that.
Watched last night. We watched The Fablemans.
Ooh.
Would you recommend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, that Steven Spielberg knows how to make a movie.
Yeah.
It's good. I think I was like, I like kind of put it off. Like I hadn't seen it until now because I was like, oh, it's going to be like a little treacly. It's going to be like the power of cinema, like whatever. But it's not. Like it's really like smart and interesting and fun. And we had a great time. And I'm back in on movies, baby.
I'm back in on it too. I like that a lot.
Go on. Is there a reason that you're on movies now and you weren't before?
I think like I don't want to blame the pandemic for anything, but I do think I sort of fell into the habit of just like watching a lot of TV and rewatching a lot of TV and sort of like using my TV as like a background noise box where like I would just like throw on Gilmore Girls and then just like also be on my computer. But it's like, you know, we saw The Banshees of Inisherin and I went to a theater to watch it. Loved it.
Loved
it. And I was like, you can't get this half rewatching Gilmore Girls. And I love Gilmore Girls, but it's a different thing. And I just had to reteach myself to get into that habit. Movies are great. Go movies.
I have to say, we saw Top Gun Maverick.
Another capital M
blown away. Blown away. Blown away. Like cried. Like cheering. Like I was a maniac. I agree with you. It is. I find it hard to do at home, though. I get too distracted.
It is. That's why I've had to do the lights off phone in another room separately.
I agree with you. I think it was like, I don't know what it was about. I don't want to blame the pandemic, but it was the pandemic. But there was something about I think I was too stressed to watch something completely new or something. Like I just kept watching easy TV and like Little Babies on Errands. So I completely agree with you. I'm right back in. I finally saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Amazing.
Blown away. Absolutely blown away. So Dana, yes, I love this.
Mm-hmm. Should we host the Oscars?
I mean, yeah, should we?
Yeah. I'd watch.
I feel like you have to wear like helmets and have like protection around the stage in case you say something that makes somebody mad.
Dana, Nepo Baby question for you. Will your children be getting your DVD screeners?
Absolutely. It's like it goes at first to the grandparents and then to the to the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the classic Nepo Baby line of success.
Can we very quickly talk about how in Top Gun Maverick, they were so careful not to say who the enemy was. We never see a race or an ethnicity or a country.
So careful. I was
black helmet.
I was like, it's cold. I kept trying to figure it out. It was really funny.
Yeah.
It could be North Korea. It could be Russia.
Oh, they just don't tell you.
Yeah. Could be a non-state actor. It could just be Antifa, for all we know.
Could just be Antifa. They try so hard because they're like, look, this movie is going to make no one mad.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't.
Right.
It was great.
Everyone loved it.
I have to say that I am starting to come around to movies because I think that TV has gotten really audacious with how they treat my time. Like, like I do not think it's fair for a novel. I'm gonna obscure what this is about, but a novel that is like 200 and I think Dana probably knows 200 and some pages long being made into a multi-season show of TV. I'm not into it. Dana, you can tell me off air what you think it is, because it could be.
I put it in the chat.
Oh, no, but that's a good point. I will tell you the truth of what I'm thinking about when we get off the air. Yeah, I think they just waste our time. And a movie is like, okay, you have 3 hours or less, hopefully less, to tell a story, and tell it in the 3 hours. And it's like an event, and you can sit down, like Dana was saying, in your house and just like enjoy yourself for the 3 hours.
For Hanukkah, I got Ian one of those. He likes making stovetop popcorn. I got him one of those like popcorn makers that with like a little crank that like makes it evenly cooked.
Cute.
So we've been doing like home cooked popcorn. It's great. People, I mean, look, bring back movies.
Yeah. I'm in.
In, out, TV, in, movies.
All right. On that note, that is all the time we have for this first episode of Hysteria of 2023. Tian and Dana, thank you so much for stopping by. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die, per huge. Looking forward to the next time we are in the same room together. And listeners, if you like what you heard, please rate us, review us, tell your friends, and there will be more Hysteria for you next week.
Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Rustin is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer, and Fiona Pastana is our associate producer. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis are the sound engineers, and our editor is Sarah Gibolaska and the folks at Chapter 4. Thank you to our digital team, Nara Melkonian, Mia Kelman, Milo Kim, and Matt DeGroot.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolette Avenue, which is where Alex Preti was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now.
Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a five-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.